Well, my daddy left home when I was three, and he didn't leave much for Ma and me. Just his old guitar and an empty bottle of booze. Now, I don't blame him because the running hid, the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue. Well, he must have hammered, thought that was quite a joke and got lots of laughs from a lot of folks. Seemed I had to fight my whole life through. Some gal would giggle and I'd get red. Some guy'd laugh and I'd bust his head. I tell you, life ain't easy for a boy named Sue. Well, I grew up quick and I grew up mean. My fists got hard, my wits got keen. And I roamed around from town to town to hide my shame. But I made me a vow to the moon and the stars. I searched the honky-tonk and bar. Kill that man and give me this awful name. Well, it was Gatlinburg in mid-July, and I just sat down. My throat was dry, and I thought I'd stop and have myself a brew. At an old saloon on a street of mud, there at the table dealing studs, sat that dirty, mangy dog that named me Sue. Well, I knew the snake was my own sweet dad from a worn-out picture my mother had, and I knew that scar and evil across his face. Well, he was big and bent and gray and old. I looked at him and my blood ran cold. I said, my name is Sue. How do you do? Now you're gonna die. Yeah, that's what I told him. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes and he went down. But to my surprise, he came up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth, and we crashed through the walls into the street, kicking and gouging in the mud and the blood and the beer. I tell you, I've fought tougher men, but I really can't remember when. He kicked like a mule and he bit like a crocodile. Well, I heard him laugh and then I heard him cuss, and he went for his gun, but I pulled mine first. He stood there looking at me and I saw him smile. He said, son, this world is rough, and if a man's gonna make it, he's gotta be tough. I knew I wouldn't be there to help you along. So I gave you that name, and I said goodbye, and I knew you'd have to get tough or die. And that name has helped to make you strong. Yeah, he said, now you just fought one hell of a fight, and I know you hate me, and that's all right. You kill me now, I wouldn't blame you a bit. But you ought to thank me before I die for the gravel in your gut and the spit in your eye, because I'm the son of a gun who named you Sue. What could I do? I got all choked up and threw down my gun. I called him Pop and he called me Son. And I came up with a different point of view. And I think about him every now and then, and every time I try and every time I win. And if I ever have a son, I think I'm gonna call him Bill or George or anything but Sue. Oh, I still hate that name.
Well, I was over at the tavern last night, and some guy come in there looking for his daddy. And he said, how about I sing you a song? And I said, okay. And this is what he sang. Yeah. I hope you didn't recognize that's old Terrible Tommy singing there. Yeah. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. That's where you send your donations, and we thank you for the donations you send. And it's a clear day, but it's a cold day, and we got about 2 inches of snow on the ground this morning. So it's definitely white all around here. Yeah, so... You know, we were going back and forth, my brain trust, about what to do about the freeloaders out there. And that's not you people, because you all pay your donations for the website. And I was ready to close it all down for a password, that you either had to give a donation or you didn't get a password. And then we talked it over, and I said, well, let's leave the website open to the freeloaders and we'll put a password on the radio show archives. And then I said, well, we'll go all the way back to put them all on there under a password. And I got to thinking, probably we'll put a password on to get the last year's radio shows. And so I think that's what we're going to do. So all you people that pay your dues and support the program, you're going to get to go back. Well, you'll get to go back all the way, but we're talking about 1 year there, I guess. Now, wait a minute. I'm getting all screwed up. Anyhow, that's how we've changed it around. So anyhow, I'm going to open up some sounds on Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern now and then. And I like to sing, so I'm going to sing a song once in a while. And if you don't want to hear it, you just turn down your sound and forget about it. So anyhow, when you send your $20 donations in, you're going to get the whole nine yards. And we'll have the donation for the archives. So anyhow, I hope you understand that, because I don't. And as you know, I like country music because it's the music of the people and the working people and so forth of this country. It's sort of a takeoff from the old songs from back in Europe when we were running around over there. It's most of that country music expanded from that the white people brought over here, the settlers from Europe. But one thing that really pisses me off, I like outlaw country. And I turned on the radio this morning, and there was this guy on there called Johnny Knoxville. And he lives in Hollywood, country music from Hollywood. I'm immediately suspect. And he's a Jew. And guess what Jews do? They brag up everybody but white people most of the time. Now, he's on there this morning going on and on and dedicating his show to a nigger cop that lived back in the late 1800s on the Indian reservation, on what a grand fellow he was and how nobody ever was able to get him, and he killed 200 men and all that kind of stuff. Just kept going on and on and on about that, you know. So he was a deputy U.S. Marshal. And then he went on to say that's how they got the Lone Ranger. A guy copied him up after this nigger. And leave it to a Jew. Just leave it to a filthy kike to twist things around. And, of course, remember, the last part of the 1800s were thousands of Confederate veterans and other even Northern veterans roaming around the country trying to eke out a living. And they were, a lot of them went outlaw. There's nothing wrong with an outlaw, as far as I'm concerned, if you don't like the law. And I don't think any healthy white man should like the law. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to turn outlaw as far as robbing banks and stuff, but it does mean they're not going to support him either. So a lot of those guys that this nigger was tracking down were ex-Confederate soldiers who've been burned out and their homes burned down and their homes seized and wife and kids killed and everything, roaming around the West trying to make a living. And in doing that, they resorted to robbery and bank robbery and so forth. So I don't have any use for those bastards that federal marshals that tracked them down any more than I do now. And this guy said, I think it's on this little tape, I'm going to play it, which will make you vomit, that they built a statue to that son of a bitch, that nigger deputy U.S. Marshal, in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Now, I never heard of this, and I'm going to look it up, and I would hope someday that damn thing be drugged down the street behind a pickup truck and end up in the swamp. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.
Shot 1.5 men, you know.
And none of those cats shot as many as he did.
Yeah, and he never got shot once. And in the level he would go to bring in a felon, I mean, they said he caught between 3,000 and 4,000 people. Apparently, he was just like LaFleur's in Butch and Sundance. But it said that he would dress up as different characters to catch people. Farmers, preachers, cowboys. He dressed up like a woman one time just to get close to the people he's trying to capture. And he said he dressed up like a tramp once and walked 23 miles. Can you imagine? To some outlaw's home. And he convinced their mom that he was an outlaw too and he needed shelter for the night. And then he met the sons later that night. And the next morning he pulled out his guns on them and arrested them.
You did not want Bass on your ass. Some things I read, cuz, was, I mean, he was just an imposing figure, you know, a big man, 6'3"
yeah.
or so, and just honest to the bone, and evidently just a very, very good man. And they built a bronze statue of him in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Looks just like him. And next time you're in Fort Smith, cuz, stop by and picnic at the feet of old Bass. And if it's crowded, go around behind the statue and picnic at the ass of Bass.
What was that statue we had on, we were talking about the other day? It was just a little tiny
Oh, yeah, it was the guy. It was the guy at the shootout at, it was another shootout. He had a crazy name, El Fuego Dago or something like that.
Yeah. El Fuego Baca. Yeah.
It's just out in the middle of nowhere.
I hope Bass Reeves' statue is a lot bigger than El Fuego Baca's, because Bass Reeves really deserves one. He was a true hero.
A genuine badass, man.
Yeah. You got a great song for old...
Well, how do you like that? They went on and on and on, dedicated the whole damn show. The Kike Johnny Knoxville. You ought to send an email into XM to that show, Johnny Knoxville show, and tell them they're full of shit. He's bragging and said he killed 1,000 men or some bullshit like that. You know, there's nobody loves to brag up the niggers like the Kikes. Now you see in all these movies now, and so forth and so on. So, and then bragging up all the dirty ways he used to sneak up on people, ex-Confederates and so forth, that were using outside the law to remain alive, walked 23 miles and conned a guy's mother into really turning him in. So anyhow, next time I'm in Fort Smith, and remember, Fort Smith is where they tried to get our guys, and they were looking for me, too, when Butler, and you see Butler and Beam and several of them were brought down there to try to get them for sedition. And if it hadn't been for some good people on that jury, they'd have been long gone for 20, 30, 40 years. Like I say, I heard the rumor they were thinking about me too, but they didn't. So anyhow, Fort Smith is a symbol of the system against the poor people, poor white people, working people of the Old West, yeah, sort of like Judge Roy Bean, who hung all kinds of people just on the whim. Yeah. Well, anyhow, that's something to get you pissed off this morning. Federal marshals were just as bad back then as they are now. Pull all kinds of shit. And all the dumb sheep sit out there and clap. Say, oh, isn't that wonderful? What heroes they are. Yeah, right. I'd like to see how this big black bastard would have stood up to outlaw Josie Wales. And a few of those guys. Well, you know, we knew it when they started with these drones. They're going to be using them every place to keep their eye on everybody. It's a total lockdown police state. and it's getting worse every day. And I've got this little thing I'm going to play for you to let you know why and how.
Well, drones, metal detectors, and a SWAT team, all part of security measures taken at tonight's Somerville homecoming football game. The enhanced security comes after Dorchester 2 school officials were informed of a potential threat between rival gangs. ABC News 4's Rob Maya was at the game tonight and has more.
Although the heightened threat of violence may have kept many seats empty, those who did show up say they appreciate the precautions taken.
If you were anywhere near John McKissick Field for tonight's Somerville versus Carlton County game, you knew something was up.
It's very scary to come here tonight. It's such a change because I've been coming to the stadium for so many years, and now we have armed guards and couldn't carry my purse, forgot my phone, so I'm just a little out of sorts.
Metal detectors greeted fans. Drones kept a careful watch from above, and police were never far from sight.
I saw people that were really scared about what could possibly happen, and I saw a lot of precautions taken to stop anything that could happen.
For seniors, their final debut,
my pleasure to welcome you to Somerville High School's 2014 homecoming,
was tarnished with the reality of the world we live in today.
It's kind of scary. It's definitely different. I've come here every year, and there's not really been any security. But precautions for our safety, and that makes me a lot more comfortable being here.
And at the end of the night, this game will go into the record books, but not because of its score.
And everyone I spoke with tonight said that this is the first time that they've seen these types of security measures being used at a high school football game. In Somerville, Rob Malia, ABC News 4.
Well, there you go. That's a high school game. And guess what? There's a lot of niggers there. Of course, it's nigger gangs. These white people are so trained to ignore the truth. It's right out in the open, these nigger gangs. And so instead of saying, we got to get rid of these nigger gangs, and I wouldn't allow any blacks in the goddamn game, including the players. But it's amazing how mesmerized and brainwashed these white adults and kids and cops and everybody else is to not talk about the real problem. So there's nothing we can do about that. We're going to go down and protect them? Hell no. The niggers go wild and attack the whites? Sorry. We've been preaching to you for decades. We're tired of preaching. Now you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And don't cry to me. Don't cry to the lone wolves. We'll take care of our own. Well, old Glenn Miller, the hero of VNN, is going to play that game that he's always played right down to the end. He's appeared in court. The white supremacist, I don't know, I question that, charged with killing 3 people at Jewish sites in Overland Park, said he decided to carry out the attacks after becoming so sick with emphysema that he thought he was about to die. Well, why would that promote you to just go out and shoot people? That seems like a personal problem from smoking and drinking all your life. F. Glenn Miller Jr., who faces a capital murder charge, told the Kansas City Star he went to the emergency room in late March unable to breathe. Quote, I was convinced I was dying then, said Miller of Aurora, Missouri, in his first published interview since the April 13th shooting rampage, unquote. I wanted to make damn sure I killed some Jews or attacked the Jews before I died. So I went out and shot a bunch, 3 people who weren't Jews. You ever notice how guys like this never go to the top of the chain? The real bastards among the Jews? I mean, you know, you got B'nai B'rith out there, you got all these leaders, you got ADL, got them all running around, and they never, ever go after one of those. It's always some body at the bottom of the heap who really, in most cases, have nothing to do with anything. Anyhow, it says here, but Jewish leaders and those who monitor extremist groups said Miller's action only served to bring the community together. in a show of support for all races and religions. See, this is the way they play it. This is why these guys like Miller play right into their hands. And Leonard Zeskin, president of the Kansas City-based Institute for Research and Education on Human Rights, said the public must pay more attention to those who promote racist and violent views to understand what motivates them and to prevent future tragedies. Well, I think people should keep a closer eye on Leonard. Miller, who also goes by the name of Fraser Glenn Cross, Jr., is accused of killing physician William Corporon, 69, and his grandson, Reet Underwood, 14, at the Jewish Community Center, and Terry Lamano, 53, an occupational therapist who was visiting her mother at a nearby village Shalom Care Center. None of the victims were Jewish. This is why the right wing is so fucked up. I mean, they're really screwed. They can't do anything right. They always... And just to go out on the street and shoot people, whether they're Jewish or not, is not furthering our goals. Members of both families said Friday that they did not want to comment for this story. Johnson County District Attorney Steve Howe and Miller's lawyer, Ron Evans, said they were precluded from commenting because of a judicial gag order. Miller, 73, spoke to the Star in a series of phone calls last week from the New Century Adult Detention Center. He originally said he would not speak on the record unless the Star agreed to send a copy of the recorded interview to a lifelong, longtime friend of his. The Star refused, and Miller eventually consented to an interview without any conditions. Speaking in a southern drawl, Miller speaking in a southern drawl. Well, what kind of, what an insult to the southern people who have a southern drawl. Miller talked of conducting reconnaissance missions to the Jewish Community Center and the village Shalom in the days before the shootings. He said he went to the two sites for a specific purpose of killing Jews. He said he thought his actions had an impact. They sure did. You helped the enemy, you bastard. Quote, because of what I did, Jews feel less secure, he said. Oh, boy, they're just shaking in their damn boots. Every Jew in the world knows my name now and what I did. As for these white people who are accomplices of the Jews who attend their meetings and contribute to their fundraising efforts and empower the Jews, they are my enemy too. Well, I would agree with that. In fact, they're a worse enemy along with that. He said he had one regret, the young white boy, he said. I regret that. But when asked if there was something he wanted to say to Reet's family, Miller said, not now. Those who track white nationalist movement said that although the despicable actions and disgusting language can numb the soul, people need to learn more about extremists like the Jewish Defense League, like Miller, to stop future attacks, or like extremists military-industrial complex killers of thousands. Oh, no, that's not in it. It's okay to be like George Bush Jr. and kill him by the hundreds of thousands and destroy countries. That's okay. Quote, white supremacists remain a dangerous and violent part of our society, Zeskin said. Well, yeah, they can be. And they could get a lot worse before it gets better. Leonard, we have to talk to them and understand their motivation. Well, listen to this radio show and I'll tell you the motivation. We don't like you. We don't want to live around you. We don't want you to be in my country, our country. Quote, learning about them is our responsibility so that we may better be equipped to tackle this ongoing problem, it's not really a problem for you, because if it was a problem, there would be dead people all over the streets of America. And you know as well as I do that the white supremacists have barely touched the surface. Quote, learning about them is our... wait a minute. Closing our ears hasn't stopped any of the Nazi killers. That's true. If someone stands up and decides to kill somebody, there's almost nothing you can do about it. And they know it. Opening our eyes, joining with others, taking public stands against racism, anti-Semitism, and bigotry of the type displayed by Glenn Miller for decades is the best guarantee of building a truly open democratic society that has failed us before and will continue to fail, because democracies never end up winning in the end. Mark Levine, founding rabbi of the congregation Beth Torah in Overland Park, said the shootings had the opposite effect of what Miller was seeking. Well, I agree with the rabbi. It sure does. That kind of indiscriminate type of operation doesn't get you anywhere. Of course, I don't think we should be concerned with what the public thinks anyhow, but I think the public perceives that type of act of being stupid, not even political. Quote, the fact that he brought tragedy to a number of lives brought our community together, Levin said. In my experience, never has the general community reacted to any minority group the way the Jewish community was the recipient of overwhelming affection and understanding. Well, that's true. The minute when something like this happens, all the goy Christians come pouring out to support them. Oh, you poor Jews, even though you're sending money to Israel to bomb and strafe and kill and rape Palestinians. And I don't really care anything. I'm not really concerned about the Palestinians, but it's true. These people in these Jewish communities and Jewish community centers get a lot of money up to send over to Israel to kill Palestinians or whoever else they don't like. So they're not these peaceful Jews that they're said to be. You know, if you're sending money to somebody who's killing people, then you're an accomplice. And so all this B'nai B'rith stuff and all this ADL stuff that send a lot of money to the Israel and police state and so forth to kill people, they are guilty. And so don't give me that, oh, I'm a poor, innocent Jew shit. When the community had the memorial, everyone came across the board. What happened here, and I hope it's a harbinger of things to come, is the bullets in an unlikely place, suburbia, made everyone aware that we're all vulnerable to the hateful violence, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of religious affiliation. Well, this is the party line. This is the party line, and when you fall, the right wing falls into their trap every time. Every time, right wing guys can't seem to do anything right. That's right. And of course, VNN over there. I've never understood VNN standing up for Glenn Miller, a rat from the beginning. I've never understood that unless Glenn Miller had some kind of something on the head of the VNN or something. Anyhow, that's the people who play around with VNN and other groups like that. That's their problem, not mine. They're going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to do it wrong. Well, I noticed a new movie's coming around, another Worship the Negro movie called Selma, the Jewish version of what happened in the rape of the South, and the their opinion of the white resistance that stood up to the Northern Jew and Christian Zionist lovers. And so I think probably Denzel Washington's in it. I'm not sure, but it's going to be that typical Negro worship shit. And so you might want to avoid that. It's called Selma. Well, in case you're new, Morris Dees was the attorney for the Klan in the Birmingham bus attack. When the Klan, or alleged attack, I think it was just regular white people, attacked the freedom, so-called freedom rider, invader rider of the South in Birmingham. Morris Dees was their attorney. A lot of people don't, they never talk about this on national television, that he was their attorney. But when he found out they didn't have any money, or didn't have much money, that's when he turned on to be on the other side. A typical rat, Morris Dees, from the very beginning. Well, they got a talk show up on Blog Talk Radio now, We Resisters, who's, I don't know what the hell their politics are, but they're anti-racist. And they're talking about all this kind of crap, and their big deal is about fighting the NSM and the Klan and stuff like that. These are the same dumb counterparts that the right has. Yeah, they're going to fight around, roll around in the gutter with these small groups back and forth between the right and the left, which is a total waste of time. These people are never going to go after people who know the score, because people who know the score will blast them before they get into the yard. But it's okay. It's okay. Let the dumbass right and the dumbass left, or whatever you want to call them, fight it out in the streets. If they're so stupid to think they can win anything that way, well, they're no good to anybody anyhow. And if they want to go out there, roll around in the gutter with the NSM, be my guest, because it's all based on failure, and none of them are talking about going for the throat of the real criminals in this country. And it don't take too much digging to find out who those criminals are. They're not at the street level, baby. They're at the top. And but these people feel empowered by saying, we're going to clean out the NSM. We're going to get that Ku Klux Klan. More wasted time by idiots. Well, I see a new video from the Islamic State militants. Sunday showed the execution of an aid worker, Peter Kasig, a former Army Ranger who converted to Islam during his year of captivity. On Sunday, President Obama called the death of Abdul Rahman Kasig, also known to us as Peter, an act of pure evil. Well, if he's converted to the filthy religion of Islam, the savage religion of Islam, he's lost to us anyhow. So, thank ISA for that, you know. And why you get so mad at ISA? They're getting things done. I mean, you know, this Army Ranger that they cut his head off, I guess. An Army Ranger has been probably been in some pretty tough fighting, and probably has killed all kinds of Iraqis and others. And so he may have killed 100 of them. So it would seem to me that having his head chopped off is payback, you know. They don't talk about that, you know. I understand these guys. We've been bombing and tearing up the Middle East for how many decades now, destroying everything in our path, always having a good excuse, of course. were nation building. Nation building. Bombing the shit out of, blowing up every building we can blow up, destroying the whole infrastructure. That's okay. But when ISIS returns the militancy with militancy, oh, these are the most evil guys that ever lived. This is all horseshit. I, of course, am not a supporter of ISIS because I see no payback for anything they can do for us. And, of course, it's a race-mixing outfit like the Islamic religion is a real hardcore race-mixing outfit. So, but on the other hand, I understand them. The average American, white American, they don't get it. They didn't get it in Vietnam. They didn't get it. They don't get it in Iraq. They don't get it in Afghanistan. When you fuck my country up, I'm going to resist you with every ounce of blood in my body. That's the way it works, boys. You bomb us, you blow up our buildings, you kill our wives and children, and we kill you. Don't you get it? I'm telling you. Don't you get it? Like the my sign said all last week, said, God bless war. That got a lot of people turning their head around. God bless war. Because that's what they do. These Christian churches around, you know. It's just like the journeys into North Africa back in the old days. The Crusades. Marching into another guy's country and occupying it. Well, they killed them, they hung them, they chopped their heads off. And that's what the Europeans should be doing to the Islamics now. And sooner or later here, because they're trying the same bullshit to take over here. Just breeding their way through. It's a semen invasion. It's not an armed invasion. Their ammunition is semen. Just like the Mexicans. They don't need guns. They just need to come across the border and screw. And that's the way you take over countries. I got a book in my library, Conquest by Immigration. Of course. You march thousands of people into another country and just sit down and the other country says, okay, and you start screwing and pretty soon you have the country. It's very simple. I was walking through a department store yesterday and I just happened to be close enough to hear this big, portly, fat, white guy talking to another white guy, blowing off about how his particular sect of Christianity had 16,000 churches. He said, and he was going on, there's great opportunity here, man. I've been, they paid my way. I've been to Panama. I've been all over South America. And he wasn't talking about like he's converting these people to Christianity. It's more like, this is a hell of a good thing. I'm making money. The church ships me all over the place. And he was just proud as hell, man. Yeah. That church, all those dumbasses out there are financing me, and I go all over the world, say a few words and about the babe of Jesus, and then go over to the whorehouse. I want to remind you people, too, there's a book out there called Camp of the Saints. It's been around 25 years. It's a fictional account of what's happening right now. It's the latest news, just like in the newspaper. Camp of the Saints, how these masses of unwashed troglodytes board tramp steamers and come over and beach them over in the Mediterranean and climb ashore in Europe and overtake the populations of Europe. Well, they didn't have to get tramp steamers. They just get on airplanes and the thousands and millions of troglodyte Islamics from North Africa just get on a bamboo boat and go over there and do the same thing. So, but anyhow, it's interesting reading and how advanced thinking the writer was when he wrote it. I forgot his name now, but it's called Camp of the Saints. Well, here's something that chaps my hide, pisses me off. It's actually put out by the Jews. German village plays prank on neo-Nazis. The residents of Wunsiedel, Germany, where Hitler's deputy Rudolf Hess is buried, are tired of the yearly invasion of neo-Nazis to their village, so they decided the neo-Nazis could march for a good cause. They keep coming back year after year, it says here. Since the 1990s, neo-Nazi right-wing demonstrators invade the village of Wunsiedel in South Germany every November to commemorate the National Heroes Remembrance Day by visiting the grave of Adolf Hitler's deputy, Rudolf Hess, which was located in the village until it was dissolved in 2005 when the lease agreement ran out. Almost 1,000 inhabitants of Wunsiedel have been trying to stop these demonstrations every time to no avail. They held counter-demonstrations and formed action groups and dedicated to tolerance, commitment, and moral courage. Even though the number of neo-Nazis decreased after reaching its peak in 2004 with 4,500 protesters, and they were repeatedly barred by the courts from holding their demonstration, the neo-Nazis have yet to give up their so-called annual March of Remembrance. Well, isn't that fine? You know, this so-called white nationalism is a pain in the ass. Yeah, you can tell all the boys down at wherever, bumfuck Louisiana, that I told you that. Now, here's 4,500 people, at least in 2004, that claim they're for, I don't know, I guess they're just for World War II German Hitler Nazism or something. Are they really for the white race? Well, let me tell you people something. World War II was a Jewette dream. And the enemies of the white race. The white race teamed up and killed each other by the millions. Whether it was Churchill, that asshole, that drunk, or whether it was Stalin, or whether it was the French government, or Adolf Hitler himself. You know, they all talked about, well, I don't know whether they all talked about the white race. I don't think they thought about the white race at all. I thought they thought nationalism. The most they thought of was white nationalism. Us against the other white people. Let's kill them all. And that's what World War II did. It was a Jew harvest, is what it was. And celebrating these National Socialist leaders like this, I think it's a waste of time. All these people, 4,500 that march in these parades, they should be developing underground, unconventional warfare, lone wolf operations. Instead of going out there with, marching around with their shiny boots on and their all their flags and everything, and then go home till next year. What the hell did that ever solve? We're talking about the white race worldwide, not petty nationalism. Nationalism's what screwed us off for a long time. And some of these guys, too, are stupid enough to go down and fight on one side of the Islamic war against the other Islamic group. You know? They go down there to Ukraine and fight. They won't fight in the country they came from. They won't carry the battle to the people that shouldn't be there in their countries. But they'll go down to these other countries and think they're doing something. Now, there's method behind this. This is not accidental. They're led that way. They're guided that way by the treasonous leaders of the right wing. Anybody with a brain knows that this kind of activity doesn't change anything. I don't remember these National Socialist leaders like Rudolf Hess screaming about saving the white race. They may have talked about the Germanic people, but I don't remember, I haven't read any place where they talked about racial holy war. White racial holy war is what it should have been. There wouldn't have been a war, World War II, if people had thought like that. But this right wing and this neo so-called Nazis are still thinking like the 30s. And they were wrong in the 30s. They had a good concept of National Socialism, but it was taken over and diverted, perverted. And any time the people get all excited, are going to do something for their race or people, it gets diverted into a goddamn war instead of sticking to the main issue. And so I read this stuff all the time. Europe is falling to pieces. Europe is going down the tube. The United States is too. But Europe is really going down the tube because the most they can do is resort to petty white nationalism. And they don't even call it white nationalism, I don't think. They're afraid of the government putting them in jail. But I see all these young people, the Jews do one good thing. They send you pictures of all this stuff. It's on the internet. Hundreds of these good-looking white people, all dressed in black and carrying their flags. And they're going down there to piss off the people in Wunsiedel. I don't blame them for people in Wunsiedel for being pissed off with thousands of these people come marching into their little village. They can do a lot more for the people in that village by getting ready to clean up the system, clean out the enemy physically, and quit hearkening back to stuff that wasn't even a massive white racial holy war in the first place. World War II? Holy war. It was a holy war for the Jews. Tens of millions of white people died. 20 million white Russians. Oh, you're going to say, well, they weren't all white. Well, of course they weren't all white. Millions of Frenchmen. World War I, look at that. Millions of Frenchmen died. Americans, the Jews got us excited and the big business got us excited. We went over to World War I. When are these people going to learn what the fuck is going on here? Or are we going to just keep following these asshole leaders in the right wing that, let's go have a parade and celebrate Adolf Hitler. Let's go have a parade and celebrate Robert E. Lee. Let's have a, you know, totally wasteful. Goes nowhere. Fuck white nationalism. If you're not into the racial holy war, then get out of my sight. Get out of my way, because you become the enemy. And if you're into white nationalism and you're not out there into a white holy war, you're my enemy. I will stomp on you, because you're either stupid or you're an infiltrator. Most of the time, just plain dumb, trying to repeat the same old shit you did before. Build up millions of people to go fight somebody, but not the right people. Instead of driving the Islamic hordes out of Europe, you'll probably end up fighting some other country that's partially white. I'll tell you, that's what discourages me, is numbnuts in the white nationalist movement. And that's where most of the people who claim to be racist are. They're following that same old shit. Oh, let's get together and memorialize these guys that led the World War II bloodbath. Wow. Well, anyhow, I don't give a shit what people think of me, because I'm going to say what needs to be said. I've held off quite a bit. Call myself a white separatist. That was a waste of time. I'm not a white separatist. I'm a white... I'm a white supremacist. I got to go back to J.B. Stoner. He was right. I was wrong. If we don't have white supremacy, we're not going to live. We're not going to make it into the next century. Only white supremacy can take us into the next century, and only white supremacy can take us into outer space too. You know, they don't talk much about, you know, those guys that accomplished that great feat of putting that robot on that comet. But there's some pictures came through, and I didn't see one non-white. Not one non-white. So we got a lot of work to do. But I think Mother Nature is going to help us. I think that this global warming or weather change is going to be our ally. Now, a lot of us are going to die because of it, but I think it's going to be our ally, because where in the hell did our ancestors come out of? They came out of the North Country, out of the cold, cold country. And perhaps if it gets cold again, that's better. Anyhow, I saw this movie, and I don't know whether I told you about it or not, but it's called The Snowpiercer. You ought to watch it. It's got a lot of psychological information, and racial information, too. It's about a time in the future when the global warming got bad, and so they seeded the clouds with some kind of a secret chemical, and it went reversed and went the other way, and the whole Earth froze up. And there were only a few hundred people left on the whole Earth, and they were on a super train. I know it sounds weird, but it's a good movie. It's on Netflix. Yeah. So don't march. Oh, well, it's like, you know, I think most of the people in this country in the racial struggle have gotten that out of their system, because they call for a march in this country, they get half a dozen, then they sit and cry about it. You're lucky for not fronting off all your good people. Keep them quiet. Keep them leaderless resistance. Lone wolf. Every one of these people marching here in Europe, in Germany, the central government's got their picture, their whole dossier, the whole file. So how can they get away with anything? Yeah. It's unconventional warfare, boys and girls. When you're ready, like I say, fuck white nationalism. It's going nowhere, never did, never will. Now here's something a little bit more good news from Germany. Anti-Semitism and Islamophobia have been in full display in Germany this year, revved up by ISIL and events in Gaza. Cologne, Germany, several thousand people gathered on October 26th in Cologne to demonstrate against the violence of Muslim extremists in the Middle East. Well, they should have said Europe. The rally, organized by a group called Hooligans Against Salafists, quickly deteriorated. Protesters started rioting and shouting anti-Muslim and neo-Nazi slogans. Hey, that's a good thing. Such as Germany for Germans, foreigners out. Now all you have to do is put it into action. This is much better than parading down to a World War II cemetery. 3 months earlier, thousands of Berliners took part in a series of protests against the Israeli military operation in the Gaza Strip. Well, I don't think you should give a shit about that. Just take care of your situation there in Germany and Europe. Their stated aim was to show solidarity with Palestinians. That's a waste of time. Most Palestinians are borderline Marxists. But anti-Semitic slogans were also vocalized by hundreds of protesters. In a society still very much shaped by the horrors of World War II, this reappearance of racist rhetoric, that's good, in Germany's public sphere has touched a nerve. Authorities were quick to respond. We can't have that shit. White people screaming for white Europe and white Germany. Berlin Senator for Interior Affairs, Frank Henkel, said last week, "We would do whatever he can to ban a large far-right demonstration plan for November 15th in the German capital in September." Well, that's last weekend. Chancellor Angela the Bitch Merkel, who I saw a picture of her kissing a Maori tribesman, she's down there in New Zealand. Is she kissing little blonde kids? No, she's kissing a savage Maori tribesman participating in a rally organized by the Central Council of Jews. See? Is Merkel a Jew? I don't know. And vowing that fighting anti-Semitism is a national and civic duty. Well, we say fighting Jews and their bullshit Islamics, other Semites, is a civic duty. But the situation has remained tense, especially in diverse metropolises such as Berlin. In August, a mosque was set on fire. Whoopee! And a Muslim religious institution is under police investigation after a visiting imam was filmed preaching inflammatory remarks against the Jews. See, now Europe, you got another problem. First you had too many Jews, and now the Islamics are there and they're going to be fighting each other. Sweep them all out of the country. We deal with anti-Semitism and Islamophobia at the same time. They're simply too strongly connected to deal with them apart. These tensions should be viewed in the context of world events, says Ralph Meltzer. Ooh, that's pretty close to Metzger. Who monitors extremism for the Friedrich Ebert Foundation, a German nonprofit organization. Meltzer said xenophobia, right-wing groups such as Hooligans Against Salafists and the Pro Movement are holding more events because they recognize the public's resentment of groups such as the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, ISIL, is fertile ground for spreading anti-Muslim sentiment. Well, hopefully that works. Islamic radicalization is used by the German right-wing groups in order to devaluate Islam and Muslims in general. Well, I'm for that. Meltzer said what these right-wing extremists are doing, like in this manifestation in Cologne, is to try to use the threat of militant radical terroristic Islam for their purposes. Well, I go along with that. So far, so good. A similar wave of anti-Muslim racism in Germany took place after September 11, 2001, attacks on the United States, according to Carsten Kockmeiter, a political scientist at Berlin's Free University. Well, U.S. Institutions in Germany should be attacked. They should force the American troops out of Germany, close down all bases in Europe. America, because America is nothing but using it to Jewish colonize Europe. Kaschmeiter said prejudice towards the Muslims in Germany is not limited to the far right. Well, that's good, but exists across all social classes and backgrounds. That's really good. A recent Pew Research Center report found that 33% of Germans have an unfavorable view of Muslims in Germany, a rate higher than those recorded in France and the United Kingdom. Well, that's good, but I'll say it's much higher than that because a lot of people on sensitive polling lie. Oh, I love him. I got a raghead living next to me. He's the greatest guy in the world. The numbers show this is really a problem, Kochschmider said. Many people think Muslims are all dangerous. Well, they are, racially. They are not belonging to us and so on. Well, they don't. You have even more prejudices against Muslims than, for example, against Jews. Well, there's not near as many Jews over there. A lot of them have already boogied out to Israel anyhow. Breaking a taboo, Muslims in Germany make up about 5% of the country's total population of 82 million, making them Germany's largest minority. Jews account for a little more than 0.1% of the country's population. Kochschmider, whose field of research includes both right-wing extremism and anti-Semitism, explained that public hate speech towards the Jews is taboo in German society. Or at least it was until this summer. It's breaking loose. Isn't that much better than joining in a parade to celebrate commemorizing World War II leaders? This is what gets things done. Thousands of people out there pissed off. They don't know, or if they don't care for this taboo, said Kochschmider, of the pro-Palestinian protesters who shouted anti-Semitic slogans on the streets of Berlin. This taboo is more often challenged these days. Well, that's really, in the long run, that's a waste of time. Running around having parades for the Palestinians. I remember them in New York when they were parading. They were all connected to Marxist outfits. The boundary between legitimate political criticism and projection of Jewish hatred are very narrow and easily crossed. Well, they're Semites. At least you say they are. You say they're all Semites, so why shouldn't they? According to Daniel Alter, a prominent rabbi in Berlin's Jewish community, Alter said most anti-Semitic acts were carried out by people with a Christian background. Well, of course. There's always been a love-hate relationship between the Jews and the Christians, which was confirmed by Berlin police spokesman Stefan Riedlich. However, Alter added the anti-Semitism of young Muslims. How can they be anti themselves? Much more openly perpetrates acts of hatred against Jews. You know, that's true about the religion of Islam. They can dream up ways to hate themselves. There are areas in Berlin in which it is definitely not wise if you are identifiable as a Jew, Alter said. Well, maybe the Islamics can do some good and encourage all the Jews left in Germany to immigrate to Israel or some other place. Alter said, unfortunately, it is in the regions where the young Muslim people congregate and hang out. See, the young Muslims got more guts to go after the Jews than young Aryans. If I pass there, and if somebody can identify me as a Jew, I get at least verbally harassed. Well, peer pressure is the way to go. 2 years ago, Alter was a victim of anti-Semitic violence. A group of young men of Arab descent. Now, rather than a gang of rag-headed bastards attacked the rabbi on the street as he was walking with his 7-year-old daughter. They asked him if he was Jewish, and when he replied yes, they beat him up and threatened his daughter. He was hospitalized that evening with a fractured cheekbone. Well, he should have said, no, I'm a neo-Nazi. I'm a neo-Nazi. Well, there's quite a bit more to this ridiculous stuff of people attacking many times the wrong people, and the right wing actually being a stumbling block to a real national uprising. Yeah, while the National Socialists, are marching down there to the graveyard, thousands of other Germans are rising up on the city square. So I'll back them. You go march for Rudolf Hess. That's it for Moonsday. I'll be back tomorrow on Tuesday, and if I didn't offend you today, I'll try harder tomorrow to piss you off, okay? 14-5 and shut your pie hole.
To be in Austin, Texas, but then waking up with David Allan Cohen writing a song today. Fucking badass for me, man. Fucking good times. On this one right here, let's talk about that. The Ride. Stumbling through Montgomery, had a guitar on my back, with a stranger stop beside me in an antique Cadillac. Well, he was dressed like 1950, half drunk and hollow eyed. He said, "It's a long walk to Nashville. Would you like a ride, son?" Sat down in the front seat, he turned on the radio. Them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was a solid country gold. Then I noticed that the stranger was ghost white pale when he asked me for a light. And I knew there was something strange about this ride. He said, "You're the thing you think folks cry when you play and sing. Have you paid the dues? Can you mourn the blues? Can you bend them guitar strings?" He said, "Boy, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? Well, if you did stop down anyway, it's a long, hard ride." Then he cried just south of Nashville, "Hey man, turn that car around. This is where you get off, boy, cause I'm going back out of Alabama." When I stepped out of that Cadillac, I said, "Mister, many thanks." He said, "You don't have to call me Mister, Mister. You don't have to call me Mister, hey." He said, "You're gonna make it big folks cry when you play and sing. Have you paid the dues? Can you phone the blues? Can you bend that guitar string? Is it more? Can you make folks feel what you feel inside? If you can't stop down, I know what it's a long, hard ride." He said, "You're the candy cake folks cry when you play and sing. Have you played the blues? Can you bone the blues? Can you bend that guitar string?" He said, "Boy, can you make folks feel what you feel inside? Well, if you can't stop down, I know what it's a long, hard ride. Well, if you can't stop down, I know what it's a long, hard ride.